Log Talk Radio.
Yo, what it do, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk Podcast. But tonight, it's the Three Bros Fantasy Football Show. You know, this is what we give you information to help you win your weekly fantasy game. My two bros not here tonight, but I got one of my homies with me tonight, my boy Tracy. Tracy's gonna be co-hosting with me tonight. Tracy does he does our fantasy football preview show where we give you a little tidbits to help you get your draft on and popping. So I'm trying to jump him on right now, but my laptop is tripping, so let me go to my cell phone. Get my man up here real quick. You know, this app be tripping sometimes. What up, Tracy? Yo, what up, Tracy? Hold on, let me try it again. He gonna call back. Hold on, we're gonna get it together for y'all. We're gonna get it together. So while I'm waiting on Tracy to call back in, you know, last week, week one, it's kind of a hard week to judge. Me and Tracy will talk about that when he get on, because really you don't know what team's going to look like, you know, because we really don't see a lot of stuff in preseason like we used to. So, you know, last week was definitely hard to judge. I think this week we should start seeing either teams starting to play better or some teams, you know, they just going to be what they are. But what up, Trace? Damn, his call keep dropping. Let me get him the other number. Let me hit him up on Twitter real quick, tell him what to do. But, you know, while I'm waiting on Tracy to call in, you know, I don't know why it ain't working. Y'all can you hear me, bro?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, there we go. What it do, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, man, another Friday night, man, ready to get these people this knowledge to help them win their fantasy game this weekend. It's kind of funny because I played Tracy last week, and Tracy was up on me going into the Monday night game. And I know he was sitting there like, man, this guy can't beat me with one guy. And lo and behold, 19 targets later, bro.
That's absolutely ridiculous. First of all, why would you throw the one guy 19 times? Second of all, why does it have to be somebody like Amari Cooper? Come on, man. You know that's not so
especially
bad.
When you say, Amari Cooper was on your do not draft list.
He is. I mean, Big C said it too. So I just don't understand it. I bet you that won't happen one more time this whole year. Not once.
All right, but let me introduce Tracy again. Tracy is one of my co-workers. Me and Tracy play fantasy football together. We in two leagues together, I want to say. We're in two leagues.
Two,
he actually invited me to play. He actually invited me to play in one of his leagues this year, so I accepted. Tracy is like part of my family, football family, and whenever I need a go-to guy to help me with the show, you know, he always there for me. But look, Tracy, man, let's jump into it, man. Let's talk about last night's game from a fantasy perspective. Since I'm a Washington football team fan, I'll let you talk about Washington, and I'll talk about the Giants. What did you see last night from the Washington football team as far as fantasy-wise?
Well, I was impressed. McLaurin, it took a little bit of time to get into it, and I got him on one of my teams, so I was disappointed that he was kind of he caught a couple of passes, then they started cutting him off, like, okay, we need to stop this guy. Then it seems like they forgot about him, and so he wound up having a good game. So, I mean, he obviously is somebody that most people would pay attention to. Gibson had a pretty good game. He didn't score any touchdowns or anything, but he had good yardage. McKissick had a better game than I think most people would expect. I'm not sure how many people would have used him, but, I mean, he came up pretty good for you guys. And then, of course, your quarterback, that might be your quarterback of the future right there. I'm not sure if anybody would have used him. I'm not sure if he's even rostered in most people's leagues. But he had a good game. He made the one really bad mistake that almost gave the game away. But fantasy-wise, he did pretty well for himself.
Yeah, man. I'm a diehard Washington fan. I'm not sold on Gibson, bro. I think the other kid, the rookie, he didn't play last night, Patterson. I think he's the better natural runner. And I think Gibson would be probably better suited for the McKissick role, being that, you know, he was a receiver in college, and, you know, they trying to make him a running back. But I just don't see it. It just doesn't come natural to him. It has to be the biggest hole, or he has to be able to bounce it out. He doesn't run well in between the tackles. And, you know, people's taking him in the first round and early in the second round. And for what he's giving you right now, he really not being worthy of that draft position as of right now. We still got a long way to go. Terry McLaurin is definitely, you know, I got him in two leagues. But I'm going to talk about the Giants, man. And remember I told you in the preview show, don't trust the Washington kicker? Last night he fooled me right.
Yeah, he fooled me right last night. Himself.
Yeah, luckily. But the Giants, man, I thought Daniel Jones played a hell of a game. We, you know, the refs gave him a ticky-tack holding call, which I really didn't see. But, you know, he would have had well over 100 yards and two rushing touchdowns last night. And then he threw the touchdown to Slayton. And then Slayton dropped another touchdown. So he could have had a really, really big-time game last night, and he didn't turn the ball over. But I think the guy that you want to have on their team is probably Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard seems like the go-to guy out of the slot, where Slayton and Galladay play outside. I think Galladay was on my overrated list. I think he was on your overrated list. But, you know, Saquon had that one big run, but he's just not looking like himself. I think you probably got to give him maybe four games to get his feet under and get his confidence back before you start seeing him be Saquon. But as far as the Giants, you know, the only person, I mean, Daniel Jones is 4-0 against the Redskins, against the Washington team going into the game. So some people may have, you know, play him because of that. And if they did, hey, good on you. But I think every week, you know, Sterling Shepard should probably be in your lineup. People going to start Saquon because of where they drafted him at. And Galladay, people will start him too. But I think you got to look at the Giants based on who they're playing. I think they're one of the teams you're going to start their guys based on matchup.
I completely agree with you because, for me, you just said it. Daniel Jones does very well against Washington, and then against everybody else, it's just hit and miss. You just don't know what you're going to get. You like that he runs. You like the mobility, but he just makes too many mistakes. He fumbles a lot. So just like you said, as far as he's concerned, he's a good bye week quarterback. Or if you have injuries and there's just nobody else available, you could do worse than him. As far as Saquon goes, I agree with you there. It's going to take some more time. I mean, dude hasn't played. That was his first game in, what, a year? And so you're talking about playing against the best of the best. So to think that he can just show up and be the Saquon that he was 2 years ago or what have you, it's just not realistic. So maybe come back, like you said, in about 4 or 5 weeks and you may see something. But I just feel like with him at this point, he has a lot of injuries and he continues to get hurt. Because remember he had a high ankle sprain or something and he tried to play through it and he just never looked right. And then, of course, last year happened. I just don't know with him at this point. Last year, at the end of the year, I said that I would pick him in the fantasy draft somewhere toward the end of the first round because I felt like people would skip him. But now I haven't seen him play. He can't even get all the snaps. He can only play maybe one or two downs here or there, and then he has to be replaced by somebody else. So I'm glad.
Yeah, he's not even 3 downs right now.
Yeah, you're going to be on eggshells every week because he strikes me as one of those guys. You know how you're looking on TV and you see the crawl across the bottom? Saquon Barkley, one carry, 10 yards. Oh, he about to go off 15 minutes later. Saquon Barkley, one carry, 10 yards. He ain't done nothing else. And then you look, oh, Saquon got hurt. He's out for the rest. Come on, man. That's what he strikes me as. Sterling Shepard, he had a great game last night. You was about to say something?
And remember I said in that same show, I said I would never draft Saquon Barkley again. Because I done had him both years he got hurt. I had him the year he had the high ankle sprain, and then I had him the year he tore his ACL. I was like, nah, bro, I can't do it.
Yep, I know exactly how you feel because certain guys, once they burn me one time, I don't want nothing to do with them again. I don't care what everybody else says. I just don't want them. And so real quick on Sterling Shepard, he's had two great games so far. It looks like he has really good rapport. The thing I don't like about Sterling Shepard is, number one, unless he has a lot of targets, he's not going to help you because he averaged, what, maybe nine yards a catch, 10 yards a catch. He's shifty and all that, but he doesn't make big plays. Second thing is he gets hurt a lot too. I guarantee you that within the next week or so, he's going to get dinged up, whatever it is. He's going to come out early. He's going to be questionable. Then he's not going to play. So he's good when he plays. But he's best in a PPR league. I don't think any of our leagues are that. So he in those type of leagues, he's not as good as he would be in a PPR. Last one, Golladay, he wasn't on my do not, like, saying not to draft him, but I agree you should not. I just think he's hype because he killed me last year. I had him, and I was like, I really don't like him, but I know they don't have anybody else, and he missed pretty much the whole year. And it was one of those ones where you can't release him because they keep saying he's coming back next week. Next week never came. So the Giants, to sum it up, just like you said, it just depends on who they're playing. That's how you determine whether you want to use any of their guys or not.
Yeah. And I think another thing about Goddard, we said in the fantasy preview show, if y'all want to go back and check that out, is Daniel Jones is not going to do what Matthew Stafford did. I think Daniel Jones is already a turnover machine, so he's not going to throw Golladay those 50-50 balls. So you're not going to be able to rely on those. I mean, Matthew Stafford was giving him a chance to make plays 30, 40 yards downfield, whereas I don't see Daniel Jones doing that. Hey, but let's talk about some real football right now, Trace.
All right,
hey, man, Sunday night we got Kansas City going against Baltimore. Baltimore has been ravaged with injuries. Man, this team, I don't know what to think of them fantasy-wise, but I'm going to talk real football. We ain't going to talk fantasy. We're going to talk real football.
Gotcha.
What do you make of Baltimore trying to overcome these injuries, bro? How you think their season going to pan out?
Baltimore is one of the better teams in the NFL. They have been for quite some time. They got a good coach. They got a good organization. They have good depth. But even good teams eventually get tested, and they're going to start to suffer. And I think at some point it's going to catch up to them with all these running backs, and then their wide receivers are hurt. And so there's only so much that Lamar Jackson can do. He'll beat the teams he's supposed to beat, but then when he comes against elite teams like Kansas City, until they can get past these injuries or until they have a full deck, so to speak, they're not going to be able to beat those teams. So you won't notice it against Cincinnati maybe or some of the lesser teams that they play. But if Pittsburgh is as good as they looked in the first week against Buffalo, they're going to struggle. And they're not winning Sunday night. And then any other big teams that they have on the schedule, it's going to be a battle. we already know how you feel about Lamar Jackson as a passer. And when they fall behind, I'm inclined to agree with you. They can't come back. So they're front runners. He's able to do his thing when they're winning, but if they fall behind, it's over with. And so they're going to have to beat up on the weak sisters of the league and then just hope that they can catch some breaks against the good teams. Otherwise, they're not going to they're not winning the championship this year. And there's only so far they're going to go having to deal with what they've had to deal with.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we didn't even talk about the injuries they had on defense because Marcus Peters got hurt, and then his backup got hurt.
See?
So it's like
– exactly.
It's only – and then I want to say they lost the offensive lineman on Monday, too, that's not going to be able to play. So that next man up thing, you start running out of men to move up.
Yeah, and only goes so far.
Yeah. I do like to pick up on Latavius Murray. I don't know about Devontae Freeman and Le'Veon Bell, but I do like Murray and Williams. I did like what I saw from Tyson Williams, although he's a rookie running back. Rookie running backs have to learn you can't dance in the NFL. If the hole is there, hit the hole. If you will bounce it out, bounce it out. Ain't no dancing, because once you start dancing, you're going to lose yards. I think him and Latavius Murray would definitely be great running back situation. I probably would start Murray over him. I think Murray still got a lot in the tank. I still think he got a lot to offer, and he's good in the passing game. So, but on with you, man. Baltimore, hey, if on Lamar, I go to Baltimore and be like, hey, what was that last offer you guys had on the table?
And just go ahead and accept it.
Man, you got to go ahead, man, Tracy, because I think he's going – people not tackling him no more. You know, there's a difference between getting tackled and getting hit.
Right.
These cats are hitting him now. He not getting tackled. Even on that one where he got slammed on his head, man, I was like, man, oh, man. Yeah, so he about to get the Cam Newton treatment, and we all
know why.
What the
Go ahead and say what you're saying.
Me and you saw how Cam, them hits started to pile up, bro. Started to pile up, then you start getting injured. He is not a big guy.
No, not at all.
And with the offensive line struggling to protect him, I think this is going to be one of them years where he's going to have to, at the end of the year, he's going to have to learn how to become a passer because he's going to get tired of getting hit this year. Not tackled, once again, getting hit. Go ahead.
Right. And what I was going to say earlier is the reason he's getting hit is because these guys are getting gassed up before they even play. Man, you get out there, don't let them embarrass you, man. Remember what he did last week? Remember what he did last year? And nobody wants to see that happen. So when they get a chance, they're going to tee off on this dude. And then, like you say, he's not like Cam. Cam is a big dude where he can kind of absorb some of those hits. Think back to the game that he just played. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson. And he got down one play, and they was like, yeah, see, that's what he needs to do right there. He needs to keep getting down. Because they've seen what you're talking about. And he can't continue to stand up straight and think he can juke everybody. You know, get what you can and get down. He's going to have to learn that. And unfortunately, if he doesn't learn it the easy way, he has to learn it the hard way.
Well, Tracy, I'm going to tell you what. If I'm a defensive coordinator, well, I'm telling my defenders, the first guy get to him, hold him up. Second guy come in, hit him. And try to strip the ball.
Oh, there you go.
The first guy is just a roadblock.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was just saying, you see, he fumbled two times just in this past game. And so you're right. That's exactly what they're going to do because if you can't stop him, you know, let's hurt him. If you can't hurt him, make him turn the ball over. And so you want one of those things to happen on every play. And then I know they'll say, well, we don't want to hurt our opponent. Yeah, you do, because you may not want to hurt him. You want to injure him enough to where he can't be as effective. So he has to come out. I don't even know who their backup is. I know it's not RG3 anymore.
It's a Huntley kid.
That dude that's on like every team?
No, not him. You talking about Brett Hundley. No, it's another Huntley kid. Yeah. Because last year was Trey McSorley.
Yeah. And then didn't he get hurt,
like
too?
The Huntley kid.
Okay.
I don't know what happened with McSorley, man. I want to say they cut him, then they brought him back and signed him to the practice squad.
Oh, yeah, that could be.
Yeah. But look, man, let's jump into another topic, man, real quick.
Okay.
Rookie quarterbacks making their debut this weekend, man. Which rookie quarterback was you impressed with?
Well, the number one guy so far has to be Mac Jones. And his team didn't win, but it wasn't because of him that they didn't win. He was everything that everybody has advertised about him. I'll have to admit, I didn't see it. I thought it was overhyped just because, you know, he was good in college and because Belichick and Saban got that connection. Belichick has an inside scoop on this dude. He knows what needs to be done. And so I was like, he'll probably be like a game manager or whatever. And he actually was better than that. He is, I have to say, he's as good as advertised after the first game. So, again, he played very well. He played well enough for them to win. But because of the dude fumbling the ball toward the end of the game when they were driving, that's what made them lose. Ultimately, that was the death blow to their ability to win. But I think he was very good. And this is just his first game. So if he can continue to build on that, man, they should be set for a while at quarterback. And I can see why they got rid of Cam.
Yeah, man. I like what I saw out of Mac Jones. But I like the kid in with the Jets, man. I thought Zach Wilson actually looked good in that game. He once he got comfortable and he realized that, hey, I got to use my legs a little bit. I got to get out in the pocket but still look down the field to make plays. He looked really, really good. But I think he's going to fall in the trap of – are the Jets going to put talent around him? You know New England is going to put Mac Jones in a position to succeed. Whether he's going to have a top 10 defense, top 3 special teams, and they'll put players here and there on offense. And you know they always going to have a solid offensive line. So Zach Wilson has a chance to be really, really good, but I don't trust the Jets to do the right thing to put the pieces around him. So I like what I saw out of him, but I'm going to go with a guy that didn't even – that played probably maybe 8 snaps Sunday. I'm going with Justin Fields, man. I'm going with your boy from Georgia, man. I don't know what the Bears are doing. But you have to play Justin Fields, bro. You have to play Justin Fields because your offensive line isn't good. He can move around. He can throw the ball. And it seems to get a whole team juice. You know, playing basketball, me and you play basketball. And when you play basketball and you're on a team and let's say one of your teammates make a hell of a block or dunk on somebody, that just, man, the whole team spirit just, like, go up to, like, maybe 2 or 3 levels. And when Justin Fields, to me, when he scored that touchdown, you could just tell the team was like, man, come on, coach. What we doing? It's like, and then Andy Dalton, I can't blame Andy Dalton for the interception in the red zone because the ball did get tipped. But it's just time to put Fields in there, Trace. Man, you like Fields. When he was with Georgia, and we was like, why didn't they play him more against Alabama? And that was me and your whole, when we came back to work, I think that Monday, I was like, I think Fields would have made a bigger difference in that game than Favre.
Yeah, he would have. Yes, he would have. And then also the next year, too. But go ahead.
Yeah, and then the next year, you know, what they do? They made him compete. Now, he transferred the next year, didn't he?
Yeah, he transferred. They actually might have had a chance to win one of those games, not lose both of them.
Yeah, man, it's just that the NFL is, and I kind of hate this, but it's true. The NFL is coming more like college on Sunday now with the offenses they run, the read option stuff, and I think Justin Fields would just be better as the quarterback of the Bears. And I like what I saw in his limited play on Sunday. Trevor had his growing pains. Zach had his growing pains. Of course, Mac Jones played okay. Trey Lance, what, he threw a touchdown.
Yeah.
And who else won the first round?
I think that
was
that
it.
I don't remember any other guys playing that. That would be like what we were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. But real quick to talk on what you were talking about, the difference between Andy Dalton and Justin Fields is the same difference between what you and I were talking about with Mac Jones and the Wilson kid from the Jets. Mac Jones is going to make all the plays that you expect him to. He's not going to make any off-platform plays. He's not going to beat you with his legs or anything like that. He's just going to make the plays he's supposed to. Wilson gives you that he could do something that's going to be out of the ordinary. He's going to make those plays where he rolls out and he can use his legs, or he throws this ridiculous bomb that Mac Jones wouldn't be able to do that. Same thing with Chicago, and that's why the guys are behind Justin Fields. They want that it factor, and that's what you were talking about. When these guys come in, you just get energized by them being there, and so that's what he does. Because think about the quarterbacks that the Bears have had. They've all been like Andy Dalton. And Andy Dalton is probably actually at the top of the food chain as far as the quarterbacks the Bears have had. They've always had limited quarterbacks that they can only do certain things. Mitch Trubisky was really good at running, but he's not a good passer. He would get hot every now and then, but he's not a guy you can really get behind. Their other quarterbacks have been a lot like how Andy Dalton is at this stage. You just want him to make the plays he's supposed to, and you really don't expect much else than that. You'd rather have him. He's not going to win you the game, but you don't want him to lose you the game. Justin Fields gives you an opportunity to feel excited about it and feel like that if you fall behind, you can come back. And this guy literally can do anything out on the field. That's what the people want to see, and that's what his teammates want. At first, I thought he wasn't playing just because, we know, the Rams have this dynamic defense, and maybe they were trying to save him from having to break in and do that. But I keep hearing now that the Bears made Andy Dalton this promise. Oh, if you come here, you'll start for us. And if they hadn't told him that, he would have went someplace else. If that's true, it's crazy, because how many teams are going to let Andy Dalton start at this stage of his career? So I agree with you. It needs to be Justin Fields sooner than later.
Yeah, and if you want to look at a model of making somebody a promise, look at what Seattle did with Matt Flynn. They made him a promise by giving him all that money. And guess what they did? They paid him to leave so Russell Wilson can become the starter. So,
and there you go.
You don't – in the NFL, it's about winning. And you put the people out there that's going to give you the best shot at winning. And I think if Matt Nagy doesn't make this move, I think he's going to lose the team. And plus, he's already on the hot seat. So
– right.
Put the kid out there, man. I mean, if you had a bona fide quarterback in front of him that he could learn from, I could see him waiting a year, sitting out a year, like Kansas City did with Pat Mahomes, you know, like Green Bay did with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. But you got Andy Dalton, bro. Come on. But look, man, let's jump into it, man. This is what the people came here for, man. They want to know. They want to know their lineup. All right, Trey, this is your first time doing this show with me. We start off with the bad news first, Tracy. Give me a quarterback you sitting this week.
Quarterback I'm sitting is going to be Baker Mayfield, Cleveland Browns. Not because he's not going to be good, but mostly because of who they're playing. They're going to be playing against the Houston Texans. Houston Texans are not very good. And so he's not going to have to throw that much. And the Browns are already kind of 50-50 anyway. They run the ball just as much, if not more, than they pass it. Because even last week, Baker Mayfield only threw the ball like 26 times, and they were trying to stay ahead of and eventually catch the Kansas City Chiefs. They still were doing a lot of running. So if you're playing a team that you're going to dominate, you don't need to do all that. So this is going to be a big game for Nick Chubb. This is going to be a big game for Kareem Hunt, because they're just going to be ahead the whole time, and they like running anyway. So I think Baker Mayfield is probably going to throw the ball about 20 times. He'll be lucky to break 200 yards. He may or may not throw a touchdown. So I think if you have him, you probably should not play him. Again, not because he's not good, but simply because the game script dictates they're going to run the ball most of the time, and he's just not going to have that many opportunities to get you any fantasy points.
Yeah, man, I think the game flow going to dictate what Baker does. I think Stefanski might come out and try to be cute in this game, though, Tracy. I think he might come out and try to air it out in the first quarter, you know, just to let Baker get some throws under his belt, see how
right.
that goes, and then they probably go to the running game. Man, this is a tough game because this is a game where I would want to try to get my passing game going. But that ain't the way Stefanski coaches.
Right, absolutely not.
And I would want to get the passing game going because every team you're not going to be able to – Cleveland ran on everybody last year, though.
See, exactly. They did.
He ran on everybody, so who really stopped them from running the ball? So this would probably be a game I would want to try to get my passing game going. But, you know, man, I can't – I don't see it. I understand what you're saying. It ain't because Baker's going to play bad against Houston's defense. It's just going to be the game flow that they're going to be running the ball.
Right, and then real quick, let me throw this in real quick. Cleveland also has a very good defense because their defense was pretty good last year, but then they added Clowney and, you know, they added a couple of other pieces. And so this is what's going to happen. The Browns are going to get the ball first. Baker Mayfield's going to throw a long touchdown. Okay, then they're going to turn over to Texas. They might have a pick six or something. So the score's already 14-0. Passing game's done.
Yeah.
Now it's just about grounding out, getting guys work. They might play some running back that I don't even know what his name is, but he'll probably have at least a handful of carries because I just feel like they're just going to blow him out. And so like you said, they'll probably initially they'll air it out. Somebody will catch a long touchdown pass. And then they'll just turn over the Texans, and then the route is on. So that's my expectation. So he was somebody that jumped out to me as, yeah, he probably needs to sit this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go another way, man. I'm going to go a guy that's going to go from hero to probably zero this week, man. I'm going with Derek Carr playing against Pittsburgh.
Ooh,
I think Derek Carr is going to struggle this week. Pittsburgh defense is tough. If you watched them last week against Buffalo, Buffalo came out. I think they put up 10 points in a half or something like that. And Pittsburgh just shut them down the rest of the game. I think the only way Derek Carr has a good game is he's going to have to score probably some long touchdowns because I don't think their offensive line is built to just matriculate down the field. And I think Pittsburgh is going to take away Waller. I think they're going to take away Waller and make Jones, Renfro, and Ruggs beat them. And can they beat them? I don't know. So I think Derek Carr, you got a better option. Go against, you know, don't ride with Derek Carr this week. But all right, man, let's jump to this position. Running back. Give me a running back you're looking at sitting this week.
All right, let's see. Initially, I had Josh Jacobs for the same reason
I did too.
Said. But, I mean, he's not going to play anyway, so we can't use him. But I'm going to say you cannot use James Robinson this week from the Jaguars, and here's why. Number one, Urban Meyer has absolutely no idea what he's doing. And I should have known that when they draft a running back number one, when they already had a running back, they don't have to pay any money. They actually had a good year last year. And so now that ETN got hurt, Urban Meyer is going back into his bag of tricks and going with this thing of, I need to kick it with dudes that have done things for me in the past. So somehow Carlos Hyde is out touching James Robinson. Why is this happening? And so then you got that happening. Not to mention they are playing against the Denver Broncos this week, and I think Denver is just going to bottle them up. And then also the Jaguars don't run the ball that much. They only ran the ball 16 times last week. And, I mean, they had good yards per carry, but they just wouldn't run it. And so I think that until the Heat figure out exactly what's happening with James Robinson, you can't use him because, number one, he's not getting the most touches. Number two, the Broncos' defense is very good. And I think the game script, again, is going to dictate he's just not going to get that many touches. He catches passes out of the backfield. But, again, unless you're in a PPR league, that's not really helping you that much. So I just think that you need to go ahead and send it out with him this week and get you a better option.
That's funny because I got James Robinson, too. And there I had Josh Jacobs. I had Josh Jacobs because he already hurt. I mean, I was looking at the game Monday, and I think it was in like his second run, and he was coming to the sideline limping. I'm like, bro, it's only your second run. Like, come on, man. Damn. But I'm going
What you got?
And I'm going with your boy Mike. I'm going with your boy Mike Davis going against Tampa Bay, man.
Okay, stop. You really didn't say him. Go ahead and make your point, and I'll tell you why I said that.
I'm going with Mike Davis against Tampa Bay, man. Tampa Bay got a good run defense. I think Atlanta's gonna fall behind early. So he's going to benefit you as far as PPR. And I don't know why Atlanta ain't got this fixed yet, but their O-line is really shaky. As far as running and passing, I like Mike Davis personally. I like what he did last year. I think he could handle being a lead back. But this week is just a bad matchup, man. I just don't like him going against Tampa Bay.
I agree with that. And the reason why I said what I said just now is because I have four people on my list. Josh Jacobs, James Robinson, Mike Davis was the third one, so it made me laugh when you said him. But I'm going to double down on what you said with him. It's a bad matchup. And then here's a name that you haven't heard anybody talk about, Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson had almost as many touches as he did, and, of course, he can catch the ball because he used to be a wide receiver. So that's another thing you need to pay attention to with Mike Davis. His carries are getting – or his snaps even, not even just carries, but snaps that already in the first game have been eaten into by Cordarrelle Robinson. So you need to pay attention to that too. So I agree with you. He should not be in your lineup for all those reasons. And then just real quick, I have one other guy, Tevin Coleman. Trust me, I have seen him with Atlanta. It always seems like a good idea when you want to use him. And he's going to do like Josh Jacobs did. Second carry, he's going to be limping off and he won't come back. Because I thought last week he would have a decent game because they don't have anybody else. He did nothing. And so he's definitely not going to be better against New England. So he was the other guy that I had as a sit-him-down-this-week player.
It's crazy how good Cordarrelle Patterson looks at running back.
Right.
I thought the Ty Montgomery thing was like, Green Bay had a lot of injuries, you know, whatever, whatever. But Cordarrelle Patterson looks like running back is his natural position.
He does. I agree.
He can run between the tackles. He can run outside. And like you said, he can catch it. I don't know why people don't throw him screen passes more. Can you imagine him catching a screen pass and you got blockers in front? And as big as he is?
Right.
Man, I would throw him more screen passes. Yeah.
Look for that on Sunday because what they were doing in the first game is they were giving him opportunities to kind of get a running start on screen-type passes and getting him in the open field where he can kind of get ahead of steam before anybody can even touch him. So look for that on Sunday to be something that, they try to use to get him in open space, because you know how dangerous he is, because he's good on those kickoff returns. So he just has that natural ability to make people miss.
All right, man, let's jump to wide receiver. Give me a wide receiver you're sitting this week.
All right, let's see. I'm going to say sit Brandon Ayuk down. And, I mean, it's obvious why. He did nothing last week. I don't even know if he really got any snaps in. I don't think he had any catches either. But before
they
the season,
he was
everybody
hurt.
Was – so what about him?
They said he was hurt. They said he had a hamstring
injury. Oh, yeah, and so that's why you're going to sit him down. Because I know before the season, they were like, Brandon Ayuk. He's going to be better than Debo. Pick him ahead of Debo, blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, I never really have been the biggest Brandon Ayuk fan, but I could kind of see where they were coming from. But something else that we need to pay attention to, even if he's not hurt, he's good when Debo is not playing, and he's also good when Kittle isn't playing because they got nobody else. But if those guys are there, all of a sudden his greatness diminishes. And so I think even if he's not hurt, you need to sit him down until one of those other guys gets hurt. And we know with Debo, that can literally be any week now. So you shouldn't be using Brandon Ayuk this week for that reason.
It's funny because I got Brandon Ayuk on one of my teams, and Manning almost cut him this week. I was just like, man, because it was somebody on the waiver wire. Yeah, it was somebody on the waiver wire. I was thinking about picking him up. And I was like, man, this dude didn't do nothing. And then it came out that he was hurt coming into the game. And Shanahan decided to err on the with caution with him.
Right.
But, you know, I'm going to go with a guy that had a hell of a game last week, man. And the only reason I'm going with him is because of matchup. I'm going with Corey Davis against New England, man. If you got somebody better – on your bench, I will probably go with somebody else. Only reason I say that is because we know what Belichick does. Belichick isn't going to – he's not going to let Zach Wilson be comfortable in the parking. He's not going to let Zach Wilson get off. He's going to confuse him at the line of scrimmage, post-snap, pre-snap. And I think Zach Wilson is going to have a welcome to the NFL moment this week. And while Zach is having that moment, Corey Davis is going to be like a forgotten man because I think Belichick is going to take him away, man. Belichick is not going to let Davis do what he did last week against Carolina. He's going to probably put Stephon Gilmore in our plan. So he probably put the other kid on him, J.C. Davis, I want to say his name is, who was probably a top 10 corner last year. So he probably put him on Corey Davis. When we doing these starts and sit-ups, I should have said this, we understand that you're going to start your Aaron Rodgers, your Pat Mahomes, your Stephon Diggs. We already know you're going to start those guys. But what we're saying is if you're looking to start these guys, if you got better options, just go another direction. That's all we're saying. And I'm just saying if you
That's
got
right.
a better option on your team, just go another. I would probably start Christian Kirk over Corey Davis this week.
Ooh.
Because
I agree
of the
with
matchup.
You with Corey Davis. I agree with you on him. And then the other thing, I don't know if Jameson Crowder is going to be back or not, but if he is, that's yet another reason to go with what you said about Corey Davis, because there's yet another guy, and you know with these rookies, tight ends and slot guys are, you know, those are easy reads. And so those deep shots aren't going to be there. And so – again, Wilson is a rookie, just like you said, and we know that Belichick eats rookies for lunch. And so everything that you said is exactly what I think about this situation.
All right, real quick, give me a tight end you're sitting this week.
I'm going to sit Mike Gesicki. And he did nothing last week. He had no catches. So I don't see that changing this week. I just think they have so many guys that are on the outside, you know, he kind of gets lost in the sauce. He may get a couple of catches. He may catch one of those really short passes for a touchdown. But I just think that he is a boom or bust candidate. And so if you have somebody that's more reliable, go with them. Do not use Mike Gesicki under any circumstances.
And I think Gesicki was having a Pro Bowl year playing with Fitzmagic. And once they went to Tua, he became invisible.
Right.
But I'm going with any Tennessee tight end. Don't start any Tennessee tight end against Seattle. You probably shouldn't have him rostered anyway. But I had Firster on one of my teams thinking that, you know, last year him and Tannehill had good chemistry. He was a red zone option last year. But, man, last week he did nothing. And I don't think he's going to do, or whatever tight end they play this week is going to do anything against Seattle, because basically they're going to be going up against Quandre Diggs and Bobby Wagner, and both of them can cover. So I will stay away from Tennessee tight ends. All right,
That's
man. Now that we got the bad news out the way, let's jump into the good news. Let's put smiles on people's faces, man. Give me a quarterback you definitely starting this week.
A guy I'm starting this week that most people probably wouldn't use is going to be Kirk Cousins. Like you said, it's easy to name off the ones that are no-brainers like Rodgers and, you know, Brady and things of that nature. But I think Kirk Cousins is somebody that people kind of overlook because he's a better fantasy quarterback than he is a real-life quarterback. Because, number one, they're going to be playing the Cardinals this week, and he's going to have to try to keep up with Kyler Murray. So you're not just going to be able to give it to Dalvin Cook every down. You're going to have to try to throw. He has two really good wide receivers, Jefferson and Thielen. Thielen surprised me last week with a couple of touchdowns. I did not expect him to be as good this year as he has in years past. So if he can keep that up, that even adds to what I'm talking about. Last week, Cousins had 351 yards and two touchdowns, and he always has good numbers. Last year, he averaged 266 yards and two touchdowns in every game. And generally speaking, if you can get that from your quarterback and he doesn't turn the ball over, and like I said, that's his average. So that means in some games he might throw three touchdowns, he might throw four. Some games he might give you a rushing touchdown. So I just think that he's somebody that if you're struggling at quarterback or you just don't trust the guy that you thought was going to be your number one quarterback, he's somebody that will give you some nice numbers and give you a chance to win your week.
And it's funny that you say that because at all my drafts this year, I targeted three quarterbacks. I targeted Ryan Tannehill, Matt Stafford, and Kirk Cousins. And
did you get them?
No, you took Tannehill from me in one league.
Yeah.
But I ended up getting Matt Stafford, and I ended up getting Matt Ryan in one league. Man, I just don't know what happened to Matt Ryan, dog. I just don't know, man. But I agree with Kirk Cousins, basically because their defense is so bad that most of their games are going to be shootouts.
Right.
And as a fantasy, you don't mind that. But what you don't want is for him to turn the ball over. You know, you just don't want him throwing a lot of interceptions. But he's
right.
Going to put up good numbers. And they got offensive weapons. They got Thielen. They got Jefferson. They got the kid Osborne that I was watching last week. He had about four or five catches last week. They lost Irv Smith Jr., but they got Chris Herndon, who I think is a quality tight end. And, of course, they got Dalvin Cook.
Right.
I'm going with a guy you talked about earlier, man. I'm starting Mac Jones against the Jets, bro. He played well in his debut. He didn't lose the game, like you said. The Jets' defense isn't that good. And I think they're going to get multiple shots at the Jets' defense because I think New England probably going to force some turnovers. They're going to sack Wilson a couple, two, three times. So I think Matt Jones is going to have a chance to actually – throw the ball this game. I think New England probably come out running it. But when the game get out of hand, I think they're going to let Matt Jones, like, let him throw the ball. Because you got to see what the kid can do. You can't be cautious every game. You can't come into every game thinking you're going to run it 30 times. You know, I think New England going to let him play this week. and I like him going against the Jets. All right, bro, give me a running back.
Let's see. For the running back, I'm going with David Montgomery from the Bears. And I picked him because he had 100 yards versus the Rams, but he did all that on only 16 carries. And the Rams are one of the best defenses in the NFL, so it's not like he did it against somebody bad. And I know somebody might be listening will say, well, he had a 41-yard carry, so take that away. So even if you take that away, he still averaged 4 yards a carry. So, I mean, it wasn't that he just had one big carry and did nothing else. We all know that the Bengals are not the Rams defensively, and that's what they're playing this week. So he's going to have easier sledding as far as getting his traction and being able to run is concerned. So if he got 16 carries against the Rams, where they were basically behind most of the game, he's going to get at least 20 carries in this game, if not more. He's their main running back, and just like you've already heard me say a handful of times before, game script is going to determine how many carries he gets. And I expect the Bears should be able to win that game. I believe it is in Chicago, which leads me even more to believe that they should be able to beat the Bengals, who are up and coming but still a young team. And so I think that will give David Montgomery an opportunity to shine and be able to put up some nice numbers.
And I hear people say, you know, if you take this run away, he would have did this. But he had that run. You know, just like Melvin Gordon last week, he had a 70-yard touchdown run. I mean, if you really look at it, he had 101 yards rushing. So you take away the 70, he would have had 31 yards rushing. But we're not taking away the 70. And we're
not taking away.
So that's part of the game. I'm going to go at this guy. I know a lot of people kind of skeptical because he only had maybe six points in fantasy, depending on your scoring. I think Najee Harris is going to be very good against the Vegas defense this week. He should be able to put together a well-rounded game as far as running and catching against the Raiders defense. Tyson Williams had a good game against the Raiders defense. I think Najee can have a good game against the Raiders defense. Najee just has to learn you are not in college anymore. Hit the hole, dry your legs, like he did in the second half for the Pittsburgh game against Buffalo. He figured it out. Hey, sometimes you're going to get 2 yards on a cloud of dust. Sometimes you might break one for 7 yards. You just got to keep churning. And I think he's going to learn from last week's game, and I think he's going to have a big game against the Raiders.
I agree. Like you said, once the second half came around, he was ready to roll, and he looked like a completely different back. And we already know the Raiders' defense has improved, but I think the Bills' defense is better. So if he could put it together against them, he should be ready to roll this week.
All right, man. Give me a wide receiver, bro.
Well, I had a handful of wide receivers, but I'm going to pick one that I'm going to guess you might say you got him. But Antonio Brown, this is easy to me. Awful defense in Atlanta. That's who they're playing. A quarterback who's looking for you. We know the connection that Tom Brady has with Antonio Brown. He's always looking for him. And then Antonio Brown has elite talent still. I think people forgot about that because he bounced around a couple of years and he really didn't get to play and all that. But I might even say he's the best wide receiver they have. And they have two all-pro level wide receivers in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. So it's not like these guys aren't that good. And he's just – this dude is really good. And so I fully expect him – I wouldn't be surprised if he had 150 yards against Atlanta and a couple of touchdowns because he's just that good. And he's not even considered their number one wide receiver. So that means that they'll probably put their supposed number one cornerbacks on either Evans or Godwin. And then you got Gronkowski roaming across the middle. So I just think this dude's going to have a big-time game. And I'm sure he's cheap in daily fantasy. So wherever you have an opportunity to use Antonio Brown, do it.
I think this is the last week he'll be cheap in daily fantasy. I think this is the last weekend. Yeah, I think this is the last weekend you'll be able to get him on the cheap. I totally agree. AB is very, very talented. And most teams are using what, a number three corner on him? You use a right. number three corner on a wide receiver that was the best in the league for at least 3 or 4 years. That it's just not going to work. But I'm going to make you smile with this one, Tracy.
This is going to be good. What you got?
I'm going to make you smile, man. I'm going with Tim Patrick, man, with the Broncos.
Ooh, good one, good one. Because I like that.
I like Tim Patrick when he's forced to be part of the offense. Last year when Cortland Sutton got hurt, Tim Patrick had a solid season last year. Now that Judy is down, guess what? Tim Patrick, once again, gets to be part of the offense. So he can still run the same routes Judy can. I don't think he has as much after-the-catch ability as Judy. But I like Tim Patrick this week against Jacksonville, being that he's going to see Judy's targets. Hamler's more of a deep threat. Sutton still coming back off injury. I like Tim Patrick this week, bro.
I like that call. And I sometimes, what is that saying? It's better to be lucky than good. Broncos kind of lucked in and found out this guy can play because of exactly what you just described. Guys got hurt. They kind of had to use him. They had no choice. He's good. I like his game. I wouldn't be disappointed if my Falcons had him as one of their wide receivers. But like you said, he's not dynamic. He's a speed burner or anything like that. But he never drops the ball. He runs precise routes. And he's just a quality wide receiver. I like that call as a start.
All right, man. Tight end. This is a fickle position. Because normally if you don't have one of the top five guys, top four guys, basically you're looking for a tight end that's going to either score a touchdown or they're a consistent part of the offense. Give me a tight end you're looking at starting this week.
I'm going to start Noah Fant, and it's because of who they're playing primarily. And that's, again, the Jacksonville Jaguars. He led the Broncos last week in targets, and he's just a good tight end. I mean, he really hasn't had consistent quarterback play with Drew Locke and the other guys that he's had to work with. But I like the way Teddy plays quarterback. Teddy is not dynamic. Teddy doesn't have the biggest arm or anything like that. But he's a quality NFL quarterback, and he goes to the tight end. And so I think the Noah Fant's going to have a good game. I think he'll probably score at least one touchdown, and he is definitely going to get targeted, maybe even more so now, like you mentioned, that Jerry Jeudy's out. They may send a couple of those targets his way. One of the touchdowns that probably could have been his last week got vultured by one of the other tight ends. But, I mean, even if he doesn't score, you're going to get the catches and you're going to get the yardage. And he is really good after the catch. So that's my start of the week at quarterback. Or, excuse me, at tight end.
Man, that's funny because I got Noah Fant too. But I'm going with this guy, man. I'm going with this guy. He'd have bounced around the league. Everywhere he goes, he seems to make an impact. I got to figure out why this guy can't stick with a team. I'm going with Jared Cook versus Dallas, man.
Good one, good one.
I think the Chargers have a very potent offense. They got Eckler in the backfield. They got Herbert, you can see his confidence growing with each game. Last week, he just shredded my Washington football team defense. But I don't think our defense is as good as it was last year for some strange reason. Dallas has no pass rush. And they got a suspect secondary. And are you going to really match up Michael Parsons on Jared Cook in the passing game? If you match up a rookie on Jared Cook, I think Jared Cook has a field day. I think Jared Cook scores a touchdown this week. I wouldn't be surprised if he had 4 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. And if you can get that off your tight end, guess what? You win it. Because every tight end ain't going to be Kelsey and Waller, where they're going to get 2 touchdowns, 100 yards, you know. So if you can get 4 catches, 60 yards on a touchdown out of your tight end, consider that a win. So I'm going with Jared Cook, man. I know we done went over, but, you know, it is what it is. Give me one sleeper this week, Trace, before we get out of here.
All right. Let's see. From any position, or are we starting at the top?
Yeah, any position. Any position.
Let's see. All right, let's see. Let me run through these real quick. I'm going to say Jamal Williams, Detroit Lions. I picked him because they're playing Green Bay. Green Bay is pissed because they got blown out last week, only scored one field goal. And so you already know they're coming back with a vengeance. And this Detroit Lions, they just aren't a very good team. And so I think Jamal Williams is going to get a lot of touches. Last week he had 17 touches and 100 scrimmage yards. So that's he had about half and half with the running and with the receiving. The surprising thing for me with him is that he had 9 passing targets and he had eight catches. That in and of itself isn't really that big of a deal with running back. But when you combine it with the rushing and the catches and you know they're going to be behind, I like that. I think that you can use him and you can get points out of him because they're pretty much guaranteed to be behind. And so he seems to be the running back that gets the passing down snaps. And so I think you can get some work done with Jamal Williams as a sleeper this week.
And it's a revenge game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's right. So you know he's going to run
off. Yeah, and it's a revenge
game. That's just like getting somebody in a contract year. They play better than they ever did, and they don't get hurt the whole year. So, yeah, he's going to be – you're right. He's going to be ready. I didn't even think of that, but that even adds more fuel to the fire why he should be good this week.
And the funny part is, once again, people go back and listen to our draft preview show. I told you, Tracy, I was not drafting DeAndre Swift because
– You did say that.
Anthony Lynn says he looks at Jamal Williams as the RB1. That's the offensive coordinator saying that. The offensive coordinator saying he's looking at the RB2 as the RB1. So that's why you're going to see him have probably the same amount of rushes as DeAndre, probably more catches than DeAndre. And that's why I was like, I'm not messing with DeAndre Swift. And I actually drafted Jamal Williams probably in 3 leagues this year because of that. But my sleeper this week is Bob. Go ahead, Trey.
No, I was just going to say, I completely agree with you when you were saying it, is that I wasn't feeling DeAndre Swift either just because of the injuries. And I just don't know what he's going to do. But now you got Williams getting an opportunity to not be behind Aaron Jones. And what you said that Lynn said about him being the number one guy, not only did he say that, it looks like he's backing it up because this dude's getting the touches, like I said, both running and receiving. So out of those two, yeah, this is the guy I would want too.
Yeah, and I think I really didn't watch their game as much as I was watching the other games. But in the first half, they fell behind. But Jamal Williams was kind of out-touching DeAndre in the first half. Then the second half, it kind of became like a 50-50 because, you know, they fell behind. So,
right.
But I just think Jamal is the guy that Anthony Lynn likes. But my sleeper is Valdez Scantling, man, for Green Bay. For some strange reason, he seems to always have one long TD catch versus Detroit. It seems like every year he has one long catch in Green Bay, one long catch at Detroit. This game is in Green Bay, and I look for Green Bay to light up the scoreboard, and I think Valdez Scantling has a big game. I'd probably say about 3 catches, 70 yards on the touchdown. And if you can get that out of your wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3, you win it once again. So, you know, that's why when we give y'all these sleepers, we saying if your wide receiver 3 is, let's say, your wide receiver 3 is, let's say, Brandon Ayuk was probably considered a wide receiver 2. If your wide receiver 3 was probably like Michael Gallup or Cole Beasley, you know, people like that, would you start Valdez Scantling over them? I would say yes, because he's gonna get a touchdown this week. he's going to be part of the offense this week because Green Bay is going to light it up on Monday night. But, you know, me and Tracy, we covered a lot tonight. I'll be putting out the highlights of the show out on Twitter. I'm even going to put a DraftKings lineup out. I'll probably put a DraftKings lineup out on Sunday. You know, just something new that I tried this year. Last week my lineup didn't do so good because Tennessee just stunk it up last week. But, you know, hey, any last words for the people, Trace?
No, just keep in mind, like, things that, like what you just said with Valdez-Scantling. If you have a game where you feel like you can get blown out, these are the type of guys you need to take a chance on. Because even if he only catches one pass, in most leagues you get bonus points. If it's one of those really long passes, if it's more than 40 yards, you get points for that. Then you get points for the actual touchdown. So sometimes you have to take risks with guys like that. And that's why it's called a sleeper. So you got to take these things with a grain of salt. And you got to understand, you know, different circumstances for different people. And like you already said a few times, if you have somebody, better go with that guy. If you don't, we give you some nice alternatives that are real alternatives, and you can still win with these guys.
Yeah. And like I like to tell people, we aren't on your ESPN. We are on your Bleacher Report. We are on your CBS Sports. We're not on your NFL.com. But what we are, we have won multiple championships and fantasy leagues. And what that means is we have won leagues that play PPR, leagues that are non-PPR, leagues where you have multiple flex, double quarterbacks. So we do know about putting a lineup together. I don't say that to be bragging or boasting, but if we're going to do a show like this, we got to have some credentials. And that's why, you know, we do this show. And when you listen to the preview show, we really don't stray far from what we said from the preview show unless somebody proves us wrong. You know, if somebody comes out and have a breakout year, let's say I said don't draft Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm going to say Tua. I'm really not a fan of Tua. But if Tua come out here and throw for 4,400 yards, 35 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and he had about 2 or 3 rushing touchdowns, guess what? I was wrong.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it
happens to all of us.
Yeah. So, but you know, that's tonight's show, man. Thanks, Trace, for being part, man. I'm going to have to get Tracy up here more often because I like talking sports with Tracy. Of course, I can't wait to do the NBA preview show. That's the one me and Tracy have a lot of fun. That's going to be me and him.
Yeah.
Our NBA preview show was fun. But thanks, Trace, for jumping in, man.
Good luck
this week unless you're playing me.
Same to you.
Unless you're playing me. I know that go both ways.
Absolutely.
But look, everybody have a good weekend. Everybody still practice social distancing. You know, wear your mask, like I always say. Vaccination is a personal choice. It's up to you whether or not you do it. But as always, in closing, I always like to say positive people, positive energy, positive results. And we always end the show on a peace.